So this August, my mother celebrates her 75th birthday. And I'm going home in July. And I'm wondering how to celebrate her birthday and how to make her 75th birthday very special for her. I've been thinking numerous things. Should I get her some good diamond jewelry? Maybe when I go, I should plan an exotic trip as a surprise somewhere. Or maybe I should cook for her one day and offer dinner. Or maybe buy her a sari. She loves when I buy her saris. Or maybe I should buy her a new refrigerator, which I think we could all use back at home. So I'm just wondering how to celebrate her 75th. And sometimes I feel, gosh, no matter what I do, it's not going to be enough. I should do all these things to tell her how much I love her. But one thing I'm sure, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, I don't think it can express the depth of my love for my mother. My mother is the same way. When I go home for 2 weeks, gosh, she's fretting about and doing stuff just to make my stay the best ever. Because that's how much she loves me. I'm sure many of you have similar experiences. For example, those of you who are married, the day you got married, your bride or your groom looked dashing and so full of love, you just didn't have words to express what you were feeling. Or maybe your honeymoon, no matter how deeply you shared of yourself, you still thought there was something missing. You wish you could really put into words your sentiments. Or maybe the day your first child was born and you held this little baby in your arms and you looked into the baby's eyes and said, "If only you know how much I love you." Right? We all have these experiences. So we can agree on some things. The more we love somebody, the more we want to give them something. The more we love somebody, the more personal our giving becomes. So for my mother, it's not enough for me to give her something. Whatever I give or whatever I say, I want it to be an expression of me, because this giving needs to be personal. It is with this kind of sentiment that I want to reflect on the feast of the body and blood of Christ. Because I think this is God's way of sharing most deeply with us because of how much God loves us. So let me use the three readings in some way to talk about this feast, reflect upon it. But I want to let you know that the one word that connects all the three readings is the word covenant. So I'm going to use covenant and the concept of self-giving in love to help us understand the feast. So let me talk about the first reading in my first point. What you have read in the first reading is what we call a covenant-making ceremony. In those primitive times, the term that was used for making a covenant was a covenant-cutting ceremony. When people made covenants, both the parties, they bought a knife. And they would cut themselves, draw blood, and they would shake hands. So the blood of both the parties mingled. By that meaning that now they are brothers in the covenant. But it also meant that the person who breached the covenant, that must be repaid with blood. So Moses is making a covenant on behalf of God and the people. But there's only one problem. You can draw blood from the people, but how do you draw blood from God? God is not personally present there physically. And so you have Moses then sacrificing young bulls. And then on the altar he sprinkles half of the blood of these animals and the other half he sprinkles on the people. And he read the word of God, the law. And the people said, whatever the Lord says, we will do. And so Moses then, with the sprinkling of the blood of the animals, seals that covenant between God and the people. So that's the first reading. That's the first point I wanted to make. Just one more thing about that. In that covenant, what is being given? Like I want to give something to my mother. What is being given? The law. But the law is not a thing. Law represents a relationship. God is giving his relationship to his people, and God would honor that covenant by being faithful to the laws, to the covenant. The people, on the other hand, give their will, their assent. They give complete obedience to the law by which they were then being faithful to the covenant. The second reading takes us one step forward. It talks about a new covenant. So there's the covenant that Moses made. But the author of the letter to the Hebrews talks about a new and a better covenant. What is it that makes this covenant new and better? First, remember in the Old Testament, God was not physically present to make the covenant. This covenant is better because God is present in person through Jesus. Secondly, it's not the blood of animals that seals this covenant. It is the blood of God's own Son that seals the covenant. Do you notice now that the giving is becoming more personal? More intense, not just the law, not just a relationship, but God is giving God's own Son. And then the new covenant becomes between God and his people an everlasting covenant. So I think that in this new covenant, God is once more trying to say something to the people. And what is God saying? God is saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God so loved the world that he gave, not something, but his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And Jesus himself said, no greater love, once again love, no greater love can a man have than this, than to lay down his own life for his friends. So once again, the depth of love is followed by the depth of the action, giving of God's own self. So what are we saying? God loves greatly, so God gives greatly. God loves unconditionally, so God gives unconditionally. God's love is so deep that God gives himself to his people in the deepest way possible. That's the new covenant. And the third point, the gospel reading, is the account of the Passover. So Jesus, before he died, in this last Passover with his disciples, he met with them, he took bread in his hands, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body." Then he took the cup, and he gave it to them, and asked them to drink it. He says, "This is the blood of the new covenant." The blood of the new covenant. In today's gospel reading, you do not have the words, "Do this in memory of me." Mark does not, for some reason, put those words in the account of the Passover. But the other gospels, and of course Paul in the letter to the Corinthians, would add the words that Jesus would say, "Do this in memory of me." And so here we are, 2,000 years later, at the 11 o'clock Mass here at Immaculate Conception Church, sitting around an altar, pretty much like Moses with the people, or Jesus at the Last Supper table. And what are we doing here? We are keeping the memory. We come week after week to say, "Everything, Lord, you tell us we will do." This is our covenant-making ceremony. But we don't draw blood from each other. Here is the blood of the new covenant that God shed for us through His Son. Here is the new covenant on this altar. Here is the blood of the Lamb that seals that covenant. So we're not just here for Mass. We're not just here because we must somehow. We're not here because we fear God. We're not here because this is an obligation. No, it's not. Here is God giving deeply of God's own self through His Son because God cares about us and loves us. This is a celebration of God's self-giving in love to us. And it should be a celebration of our self-giving to God in love. That is when this feast becomes alive. So very soon, the body and the bread and the wine will be brought up and placed on the altar. And I want us to imagine ourselves like the people of Israel, standing with Moses there, trying to make this covenant. And we give of our will, of what God wants of us, total self-giving, total love to God and for one another. We recognize that because we are part of the same covenant, that we are a community that also should be in love with each other. We do all that today. So the feast then becomes alive, not just on the altar or on the procession. This feast becomes alive as we take this body and blood of Christ and try to be Eucharist for the world. So when you and I get back to work tomorrow, when you and I get back to whatever we do tomorrow, may God's self-giving, may God's love characterize our own lives. May we become the Eucharist. People of God said,